It's Wednesday, February 16th, 2011. I'm at the home of Owen Smith, who is now the oldest living practitioner of architecture in the state of North Carolina. And we're here to talk to Owen about his practice of architecture and his history of architecture. And I've prepared a series of questions that I'm going to ask Owen. I'm going to let him do most of the talking. First of all, Owen, where are you from originally?
Benson, North Carolina.
And when were you born?
November 26, 1917.
That makes you 93 now.
93 now.
Wonderful. And where'd you go to school?
NC State University.
Were you interested in architecture before you went to state? Did you start out as an architect?
No. How far back do you want me to go?
Oh.
I grew up in the lumber and millwork business in Benson. My family owned that. And that had a big influence in my life. But I started, of course, making the model airplanes. And then from that, I spent 3 years making two Napoleonic miniature model coaches for General Motors program. Won 5 awards on the first one. And spent about 8,000 hours on that one and 800 on the second one. So I've spent most of my spare time for 3 years, from 13 to 15 years old, on that. And as I said, grew up in the lumber and millwork business and made some of everything that was made in the plant. But I was interested in just gung-ho to follow aviation. And my father brought me to NC State and didn't give me any choice. I wanted to go to aviation school and learn everything about the aviation industry. He says, well, try to stay the year and see how you like it. So I had tears in my eyes when I came. I didn't want to come. So anyway, I enrolled in mechanical engineering with aeronautical option. And the first 2 years of engineering is more or less the same for everybody. So I didn't really get into aviation. So the day after my freshman year, my brother and I went to Charleston, South Carolina on business and had a wreck on the way back, which put me with a problem. And they gave me some tasks to do around the millwork plant, and I began to show some interest in building, the things I'd grown up making and so forth. So, Christmas of my second year at state, my brother said, Owen, if you're going to come back here and help me run this plant, he said, if, wouldn't it be a good idea for you to switch to architecture? He had graduated in 1923 in mechanical. And he thought I ought to have something different. And he thought architecture would help me. Well, by that time I had lost some of my enthusiasm for aviation. And I said, okay, I'll switch after Christmas. He said, well, you don't have to do it that fast. I said, well, there's no need to keep wasting time if I'm going to switch. And they had the quarterly system. And so I switched after Christmas, and then I had to make up. In other words, I had to take a lot of hours to catch up. But anyway, I switched, went back to the millwork business after finishing, and then I made a deal with an architect out of Myrtle Beach to open an office in Fayetteville. Well, Fayetteville wasn't quite ready for an architect, so I didn't stay there but a few months, and the millwork business was beginning to recover from the Depression, so I came on back to help my brother run the millwork business. And in fact, I was in charge of the millwork, and he was in charge of the whole plant, the lumber, and the timber harvesting and all that. And anyway, as I mentioned, we were beginning to have a recovery, and business was picking up. We were doing fairly well at prices for lumber millwork that you wouldn't believe today. But anyway, we were coming out of the depression, and then our plant burned and destroyed everything we had. We worked from 50 to 100 people, depending on how business was. And the plant burned, and we didn't have but $10,000 worth of insurance to cover current bills, because we didn't have water hydrant near the plant. Well, we got one, and had not had time to get re-rated for insurance, and so. But we did have the new hydrant for the plant burned.
What year was that? Do you remember, Owen?
Yeah, that was 1941. I was married in 1940, and that was a year later. I was in Mississippi when the call came that the plant had burned. Drove back to Benson, and the plant was still smoking from the fire. So anyway, I had to get other millwork companies to fill my unfilled orders. And I wasn't looking for a job, but I had 4 job offers. 2 with millwork companies, 1 with a contractor, and 1 with Tom Cooper, architect. And when Tom Cooper offered me a job, I had finished the millwork on a lot of his projects. And I said, when do you want me to come?
Where was he in practice?
In Raleigh.
In Raleigh.
Yeah, he was the main residential designer in Raleigh. And then, of course, that didn't last too long, because the war came along and we had to shut the office down. I went back to Henderson, North Carolina, for a few weeks to help Mr. Flanagan, architect there, on a hospital project up in Petersburg.
Did you do mostly the design of the millwork for him, or did you do the design of the whole project?
I was a helper.
Helper.
I guess you'd call it.
Yeah.
Try to catch up on experience. The millwork business has helped me all along a whole lot. And in the millwork, we did some construction, which we were kind of eased into, even though we didn't work contractors. So I had a lot of background and experience in building. Then I had several defense-related jobs. And in 1945, I ran out of a job with defense relationship, and the draft board got me. Even though I had two children, they still drafted me. So I wasted a year and 1 week in the Navy in radar school, which I didn't get to finish because the war was over. So I came back to Raleigh, and Mr. Cooper had made other arrangements in the meantime, so I thought I would work with him, or partnership or whatever. And he, anyway, I came back in 1946, middle of May in 46, and put an ad in the paper that I was establishing an office. And Friday of that same week, I got my first job, which was a theater at Fuquay had burned, and I went down there and got the job. So that was my first job. I took in about $3,000 the rest of that year, and I think I cleared $1,800. So I started from scratch.
How would you describe what your architectural philosophy was as far as design was concerned when you got that first job?
Well, the philosophy was to give them a new theater as fast as we could. I don't know what kind of philosophy I had except to find all I could about a theater and came up with it and got it built.
When you were in State had a Beaux-Arts approach?
Beaux-Arts approach. We had a little inkling of modern approach, but it was mighty small.
Yeah. Was there anybody on the faculty who was at least sensitive to contemporary designs?
I don't know how sensitive you say. Tim Edwards was our main instructor for design, and there were only three professors in the department. There were about 20 to 21 of us in the whole department, and I think there were three of us that finished in 1938. Mr. Paulson had a fine arts degree. He wasn't a registered architect, but he taught the history of architecture and that sort of shades and shadows and that sort of thing. And Mr. Shoemaker was head of the school, as you know.
Ross Shoemaker.
Ross Shoemaker, a fine principal fellow. So let's see, where are we?
Well, you'd gotten back and gotten out of your 1 year and 1 month Navy stint.
Well, then
and you got your first commission in the design.
I don't know what the second one was, but I think before the end of that year, I got a church, North Vanguard Presbyterian Church here in Raleigh. They had a small mission established by the Vanguard class at the First Presbyterian Church. So I got the job of adding the sanctuary to the small mission structure that they had. And in 1943, my wife and I joined Hayes Barton Baptist Church. And they started talking to me about that's another part of my history.
When you came back, how many architects were there in practice in Chapel, in Raleigh?
Six.
Just six? Six separate firms?
Six separate firms, and I was the seventh, and shaking in my boots. So anyway, that was my first church, and then I think it was probably 47 when I got my first school work in Harnett County. And that led to other schools throughout a good part of the state. And over the years, I did 120 school projects, including some renovations at NC State. The first seven projects at Wake Technical College. And later I added to my own church, and then after that did some renovation to the original church.
This is later, Hayes Barton?
Hayes Barton Baptist Church, which was later burned in the 60s. And then I did a 63,000 square foot sanctuary and education building addition to the 12,000 feet that hadn't burned. Uh, leads several other churches, and the school where it last had been until about 10 years ago, I guess. You could say it amounted to 120 variety of projects. Farm Bureau Federation headquarters in Raleigh was the client of mine for nearly 40 years. We moved from Greensboro to Raleigh and remodeled the old Raleigh Times building for them. And it was around 11,000 square feet. They filled it up and outgrew it. And made a study of where to locate a new building, which side of town. Well, we ended up on the Durham Highway, Linwood Avenue, and built, let's see, about 48,000 feet, and won an award on that. Precast Concrete Institute, and I won one of, I think there were about seven of us that won awards that year, international award.
What year was that?
That was 71.
71.
71, and then later, about 1980, I had him double the size of the circular building. A circle seemed to fit with, and save the most trees on the lot. And one of the board members said, well, we have silos that are round. What's wrong with that? So that set the tone to accept a round building. And
call from 919-74-08.
Just a second. Hello? Hey, George. Owen and I are sitting here recording on your old machine because I can't seem to find out how to erase the rest of the stuff that's on the new high-tech one and record over it. You got any words of... Hold the erase button until the... All right, and then press it again. And what does that do? Okay. I don't see any numbers changing or anything. Now, yeah, I thought it did, yeah. Now, let me try it again. That's a double beep. And then press it again. Oh, so it's back to one now. Okay, and then... Huh? Okay, I think we're in business now. We've been going on the old one. Okay, well, thank you for calling. You can shout your hellos to Owen here.
Hello, George.
Owen sends his best. Okay. All right. I think we'll continue on here because this should be still going.
The Lynn Road Elementary School that we did. Oh, let's see, late 70s was the largest and most outstanding school, I suppose, that we ever did. And that was, that won, well, I don't know what you call it, an award. Anyway, we were asked by the School Board Association of the U.S., to display our work on that school in Atlanta at their national meeting. So I don't know what you call it, an award or anyway, a recognition, I suppose you would call it.
What, do you remember what year that was?
I'd say it was late 70s.
Well, by that time you must have in some way changed from the Beaux-Arts training you had at NC State to a more contemporary type of design.
Yeah, all the schools I ever did were contemporary. The only church I ever did that was, you know, with all the churches I did in addition to as well as new ones were traditional, except one. Did one contemporary sanctuary to add to a campus that had two other old buildings on it. So that's quite a contrast to say that all the schools, 125, were contemporary, and only one church was contemporary. So that shows you where the influence was. As I mentioned, the Farm Bureau building and the Lynn Road School and the Hayes Barton Baptist Church were our three best-known projects over the years.
What I'm particularly interested in, Owen, is how you made the change from that traditional. There are people who went through school when you went through NC State who never changed their approach to architecture. But you were not unique, but you were certainly one of the better ones who came through, who recognized that the Beaux-Arts approach lacked something. And I'm interested in finding out how you made that change.
Well, I guess the cost of construction had something to do with it. In doing schools, I had worked with William H. Dietrich, who most people around here worked with at one time or another. Worked with him for a while, and I guess that's where I started to get some influence. And we did some additions to Rex Hospital, old Rex Hospital.
But was there an architect that you particularly admired that you came across in the publications whose work was so influential on you that it changed your direction?
Not per se, but I suppose Frank Lloyd Wright had some influence. It was just kind of the way things were going. In the design of schools, we were coming out of the Depression there for a while and fighting the battle of the budget, which dictated a lot. I would work like the Dickens to save 25 cents a square foot on a school. The first school I did, I think, was $5.82 a square foot. And then we built a number that were in the $8 range and then kept climbing on that. It was just way, way below what the schools cost today. So a lot of it was just derived from the function. In other words, if you didn't have the money, you couldn't spend it. So you stretched your dollar all you could, and that meant simplicity. So I don't think I ever was copied other architects. It was just a result of the battle of the budget.
Henry came to the school, I think, in 48, somewhere around there.
I don't know whether it's 48 or a little later, but anyway.
Somehow or another 48. I'm not too sure in my own mind. Did you have any connection with the school during the years after Henry came? Did you participate in any of the design charrettes or go over to the school or anything?
No. No, I wouldn't say Henry's school had any influence on me.
And we've been talking about, and you've mentioned a number of your projects that you think are the projects you're particularly proud of. Any more that you can think of?
Well, see, we won an award on a school in Bertie County, the AI, North Carolina AI Award. Never entered too many projects, and I guess you'd say we got an award on every one we did then.
That's
which
unusual.
Which wasn't a big number.
Well, still, that's very good.
But I didn't have time. I was trying to make a living. I didn't have time to enter every contest that came along.
Yeah. Did you do much residential architecture other than your own home?
Yes, we did several. Mostly contemporary. We did one or two colonial houses and then did several contemporaries.
Certainly this house is contemporary and is recognizable immediately as houses that were very comfortably in the area of contemporary houses. And this was built when?
Finished in 1960.
In 60.
Used local Wake County stone, local Wake County stone, which I like better than importing some from Tennessee. Like Cameron Village, he imported some of the Tennessee crab orchard. Having been reared in the lumber millwork business, I wanted to use a lot of wood, so I did use a mixture of wood and stone on the outside. As you see, some stone on the inside.
Yeah.
And got a lot of natural paneling from Indiana, and use that. And we set up a little shop and made our own millwork here in the living room area. I had a man that was good at it. If I hadn't had him, I couldn't have done it. So this was a very unusual house. There's no telling what it would have cost if I'd have let it out to bids.
You contracted it yourself?
Yeah, I did it myself. I rented a crew of four people from a contractor, paid him a percentage to use his men, but I did the direction of all the work. And just had four good men that just you don't find them today.
Well, I wonder if there's anything else I can tease out of you in terms of your architectural practice.
Well, I've enjoyed training, helped train a lot of architects, some of whom are already left us from this world. No, we've outlived a lot of them.
You've outlived a lot of them, yeah.
So, but I have fond memories of Tom Cooper, William H. Dietrich, who was one of the leading architects in Raleigh and North Carolina. What else can I say?
Well, that was a particularly golden period of the architectural history of North Carolina, certainly the better part of all of the contemporary design period.
Yeah, I was probably one of the first young architects to join AIA, North Carolina AIA. I went to a meeting, I wasn't a member, but I went to a meeting in 1941, I think, at Chapel Hill. And that's where I met Mr. Flanagan, and he needed some help over in Henderson. And Mr. Cooper had to close his office, so that's how I made that connection.
I heard a click. I thought maybe we had run out of space, but it's still running, still going along. My red light's still on, yeah. Well, that's a pretty complete story. I appreciate you taking the time.
You think it's complete on that?
Well, I'm game for anything.
I'm trying to think
of what else you could add. Anything you can add that has to do with your approach to architecture, your feelings about architecture, even your feelings about some of the more outlandish directions that contemporary architecture has taken lately.
Well, I've often thought that a lot of people didn't know how to do conventional work, and a lot of those that are doing contemporary work don't know how to do that either. What else can I say about that?
Well, usually architects waste very little time diving headfirst into critiques of other architects. I think they tend to have very specific opinions about people like Graves
Well, I think a lot of the large work that's being done worldwide now has gone off on a tangent or something. Coming up with all sorts of shapes that you'd never dream of. I don't know how they afford to build them.
Well, they're usually quite expensive. Yeah, I've run into some of them.
I never found a real rich client. So I always had to keep my feet pretty close to the earth in everything I did. And I never had a real big budget.
Did you find that was a hindrance or a help?
Probably kept me on track.
Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate your taking the time. It's delightful seeing you again. It's been at least, maybe 30 years since we've seen one.
Probably so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I admire your perseverance and still practicing and still living in your home.
Still hope I can get enough strength up to build a condo that I have the land for. I want to build a 30-unit condo. And the rules have changed since I've owned the land, so I have to start over.
Here in Raleigh?
Yeah. It's the site of an old quarry, and nobody else knows how to build on it. I don't even try to sell it because nobody would know what to do with it. You can't cut it up into lots. It's an old quarry, and it's adjoining a stream, and it's 1.57 acres, and it just takes real design effort to make good and proper use of the land. So I'm hoping that I can gain enough strength to carry that out.
Well, that will be interesting to watch. The house we have in Chapel Hill that we moved out of to move to Carolina Meadows, and which we're trying to sell now, is right in the middle of Chapel Hill, less than a mile from the center of town, and it has 3 1/3 acres. Mm-hmm. So that's an unusually large piece of property for a house. Well,
I have about 1 3/4 acres, yeah. Mm-hmm. Two lots plus part of another.
And you don't have people calling you to ask if you're willing to split it up into
I don't want it ever split up if I can help it.
Yeah, that's the way I feel about mine too, if I can.
And I know my neighbors wouldn't want it split up.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much.